Cause you couldn't buy soap. Wanty, wanty. You used to have to take bologna and buy inner sausages and cut up in noodles. But now you can eat steak. Wanty, wanty. You had your town car. I'm not talking about a Lincoln town car. I'm talking about one you couldn't go nowhere but town because you couldn't go out of town. But now you can go where you want. Wanty, wanty. I'm talking about God who turned your hair don't into a hairdo. And now you can give him a weave offering. Wanty, wanty. I say, won't he do it? Say yes. Now tell your neighbor, I'm happy now. I know the Lord will do it. I know he'll make a way where there seemed to be no way. I know he'll open doors that's been closed in my face. And even if he don't open doors, I'm so glad there are more windows in a house than doors. And he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I don't have room enough to receive. Somebody say yes. Now tell your neighbor this. Say, neighbor, I may not know three things, and I may not even know two things, but one thing I know, I know he's all right. Now shout yeah, shout yeah, I know he's all right. I say, is he all right? Then slap high five and say, won't he do it? Yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Kempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Kempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe. With the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and I just want to look at verse 29 and 30. Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 29 and 30. If the Spirit allows us, we will deal with some of the other surrounding verses, but I want to launch from verse 29 and 30. Isaiah chapter 40. When you have it, say amen. Well, we will begin to read, and I want you to read loudly if you don't mind, beginning now. And that's good enough right there. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Now, for some of you, this is going to be a review because you're well acquainted with this passage of Scripture. But for others of you, it's going to be a revelation. And I pray, whether it's a review or a revelation, that it will be refreshing and rewarding to you. Let's refresh ourselves in the Scripture again. It says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Verse 30 says, Even the youths, plural, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. We look at these scriptures together. It's helpful for us to understand that as Isaiah was speaking, sharing this trend of thought with them, it was so that we would understand that at our strongest point naturally, at our most confident stages of life, at the point and time where we have all of the natural strength, vigor, vim, and vitality, that even though we're in those stages where we feel we're invincible, when it is compared to the strength and the power of God, we are nothing. Our strength, our ability is unable to be matched with God. And those of us who think that we can depend on our own thought processes, our own ability to reason and syllogistically deduce from cause to effect and cause things to turn out like we want them to, not realizing that the only thing we have control over is us, and not even us, sometime flows in the arena of our own desires. Sometime we let ourselves down. We think that we have the power, we have the ability, we have the wherewithal to accomplish and to do. And even with our best shot, we find ourselves falling flat on our faces. Now notice here again, it's important as we challenge our youth today to see ourselves in the Scripture. It says, even the youths. That means the various ages and stages of youth. This means literally those who come into that age where they begin to know themselves, or as the old folks say, smell themselves. They're still green behind the ear, but they think they know everything, and they think they know everything about everything. They think they know more than their parents. They think they know more than their teachers. They think they're slicker than slick. They think that they've just got it going on, and that they are the end all be all in themselves. And the young folk don't understand that when the old folks see them acting like that, they have been where they've been, done what they've done. They know where they're going. And a lot of times, listen, when the old folk try to give you instruction, encouragement, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and you think that they don't know what they're talking about, I've got news for you. Keep on living.
because you can see all of the things that you came through, went through, and because God allowed you to live life long enough to have experienced some things, you know better because you recognize that all that you thought you were, in the midst of your best strength, your best ability, your best acrobatics in terms of all the things that you were athletically capable of doing and the power you thought you have, wind up again letting you down when you needed that strength the most. It says, even the youths shall faint. And if they again recover from their fainting, they become weary. Why do they faint and why do they become weary? Because most times when folk faint, it's because they've taken their strength beyond the arena of which they are able to function. In other words, when you faint, it's usually because you've pushed yourself too far. See, when you get old and you know your strength, you know what your limitations are. And wise folk, if they don't want to be made a fool of, stop before they get beyond the point where they can no longer stand. But young folk are foolish. They just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Next thing you know, they wake up wondering what happened. Because when they faint under, again, their perception of being able to do this, to conquer this, to be able to attain this, etc., without having the wisdom and the knowledge, nor the dependence upon God for his strength to be able to see them through and to bring that to pass, they think that they are again able to do it on their own and by themselves. I see it so much these days. I'm bewildered at how so many parents let their children just run wild. So many parents let their children parent themselves. I've never seen a time where so many parents wanted to be friends to their children instead of parents to their children. I've never seen so many parents who wanted to be on the end scene with their children rather than to be the one to show them the proper scene on which and out of which they ought to be operating and living. And I've never seen young people come to such disastrous destruction of their lives and others because of their false sense of strength and ability. And the Bible says, the youth shall faint and be weary. When they become weary, they don't see how this thing is going to work out. They don't see how this thing is going to come together. They don't see how God has a way of taking their brokenness and making them better. They don't see how God is able to take their mistakes, their mess ups, and their trials and their tribulations and to develop them and to make them stronger human beings. They don't see how when they do certain things and life comes crushing down on them, that there is another way, a better way, but it's going to be through the Lord Jesus Christ and not through themselves or through their buddies or through the world system, but it's going to be through the Lord and through him only. And so many of our young people turn to all kinds of answers that are not the answers. Drugs, perverted activity, every kind of things, guns, suicide. I mean, whatever you can name it, they turn to it thinking it's the answer. When what they really need is God and God alone. And then it takes one more step further. It says, and the young men shall utterly fall. Again, that reaches the prime. That means it reaches that place where they are at the height, the apex of their strength and in their existence, and the point and place where they think they are again more invincible than not, because they made it to this place and they made it to this level and they think they've done it on their own. And the end result is they fall. The reason they fall is because there are some things they don't see. The reason they fall is because there are some things they don't understand. And the reason they fall is because they're depending upon themselves rather than the Lord. And my brothers and sisters, young people, hear me today. We live in a world, if there ever was a time that you needed the Lord, today is that time. If there ever was an opportunity for you to know the Lord, it is this day and this time, because you're going to discover the world will use you and use you up, and when they're through using you, they'll throw you away, discard you like trash. It's important for you to recognize everything that you can be, everything you desire to be that's worth anything is found in the Lord. In the Lord. Not outside of Him. You know, one of the things, again, if you young people have been heartbroken as boys and girls, etc., by the wiles of the devil and the enemy showing you one thing and telling you and making you believe one thing and coming up short, you're going to learn that until you learn to trust God and make decisions and choices where you've trusted God for the answer, you're going to always find yourself falling on your face. Always ending up in the wrong place with the wrong person, having done the wrong thing. And when the enemy gets through using you, when he has done all he wants to do with you, he shows you right then and there, no matter how much you care, no matter how much you love, no matter how much you do, when he's through with you, he's through with you. But isn't it wonderful to know that when the devil discards you, the Lord is right there to pick you up? Because verse 29 says, he giveth power to the faint. To the same folk in verse 30 who faint nor weary, God gives them power. God gives them power. Not Satan, not the world, not the things of the world, but the Lord gives them power. And then to those who have no might, the word says he increaseth strength. Now listen at this, because I want to go through this right quickly. He giveth power to the faint. Those who faint, those who fall out, those who can't handle it, those who've used up all of their strength, those who have made the bad choices, bad decisions, and they have no more power to stand, the Lord picks them up and he gives them power. And then when they've lost all of their might, their ability to fight, their ability to hold their own, etc., he increaseth strength. Because what they then become keenly aware of is their power and their strength comes from the Lord. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, There is a major difference in outcomes when you learn to trust God for your power and your strength. And then every victory you get from the power and the strength of God, guess who gets the praise for it? Guess who should get the praise for it? You see, when God gives you power and he gives you strength to accomplish things, to be strong in things, to be victorious in things, to come out on top in things, to bless you where you are the winner and you are the victor and not the victim, then you need to give the praise and the glory and the honor to God, because it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. But in order to trust him like that, you got to know who it is you're trusting. That's why the verse 28 comes before 29. And he asks two questions. Has thou not known? Has thou not heard? We hear so much else through the grapevine. Have you not heard that? What? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. What is this talking about? The manifold personalities of God. The everlasting God, that's talking about Jehovah. The Lord, that's talking about Jesus. Listen, the creator of the ends of the earth, that's the Holy Spirit who comes, and everything that God says, he creates it. Go back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Listen. And the earth was without form and void. Listen. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And listen. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. See, everything that the Father God, the everlasting God, spoke into existence. The Son said, amen, and the Holy Ghost made it happen. In that manifold personality of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they did everything together. All three made one. Listen to what the Word says. He fainteth not, neither is weary. This God, this Lord, this Creator doesn't faint and isn't weary. He does not faint and you can't wear him out. He's not going to ever get to the point where you put too much on him and he can't handle it. That's why we need to learn how to take our burdens to the Lord and leave them, because he can handle them. There are some things you can't deal with, some things you about to lose your mind, pull your hair out, you wondering why this, that, and the other. You need to put those things in the hands of the Lord, who can fix them and do with them that you never could do. Listen at this. Listen again. It says he fainteth not, neither is weary. Now here's something else interesting. Have you ever tried to figure God out? Have you ever tried to answer what you thought God would answer, and he didn't answer that? Have you ever tried to figure out which way God was going to move, what door he was going to open, what way he was going to make? Have you ever tried to figure out why God did this or why God did that? Have you ever questioned why God let certain things happen? Why he let bad things happen to good people, and worse than that, why he let good things happen to bad people? The psalmist in 73, he said his feet almost slipped.
when he looked at the prosperity of the wicked, he couldn't wrap his mind around the fact that he was living and walking and talking by faith, doing everything he was supposed to be doing, and doing in a righteous manner the things that God required. And it seemed like he was barely able to make it. And then he looked over at the unrighteous, at the ungodly, and saw how they were prospering, how the wicked seemed to be prospering. Every time you looked around, they had a new car and he had a clunker. They had a fine house and his house was threatening to be taken away from him. His children were dressed in the finest of garbs, but the righteous man's children had to wear hand-me-downs. He looked at the fact that the wicked were blessed and the righteous were living in poverty, until he came to church. And when he came into the sanctuary of God and heard the word of God and realized that what they had their hands on was slipping right out of their hands, that they would not be able to hold on to all of those things they got wickedly and erroneously and unrighteously. You look at the world and they may look like they're blessed right now, but I've got news for you. They can't hold on to it. They can't hold on to it. And that's the thing that attracts so many of our young people. And they get out there in the world and they want all of the shiny, glittery stuff that comes many times the wrong way. But they have a price to pay that they don't realize many times cost them their lives. And if not their lives, they have to kill others to try and hold on to their ill-gotten goods. And so when you try to figure out, God, why do you allow these things to happen? The Bible says in that 28th verse, there is no searching of his understanding. In other words, we can't figure him out. How many times have you deserved bad to happen to you and God gave you good? You can't figure it out. You can't figure it out. How many times when you thought you should have been the winner, that you should have been the one that the doors were open up for, that you should have won to get that promotion, that you should have been the one who got that blessing, and somebody or something else took it from you and you didn't get it, and you're like, God, why did you allow this to happen? Because some things that you don't understand is this. God not only sees the present, but he sees the future. And sometimes God knows some things do more damage than they do good to you. And sometimes things may look good for you, and they may look good to you, but they are not the good things that God has for you. God has greater and better for you if you'll just trust him. Stop questioning God. I know so many of you, not many days ago, went out there and rushed and bought you some tickets for that $1.5 billion, praying to God, Lord, let me win this money. You know why God didn't let you win that? First of all, you probably wouldn't be in church today. Because even if he would have allowed you to have won it, if you have looked at the history of the people who have won those lotteries, how their lives have been brought to destruction by those gains that they have gotten, because most of the, and you heard them on the news, I watched them on the news. What do you do if you get them? Someone said, well, I'm